Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 2nd of June. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Are you recovered?
A little bit under par.
Are you sober now? After last Tuesday?
I probably need a little top up.
I'm sure you do. I saw some of the tweets from your birthday dinner, actually.
Did you? Blimey. They were lovely, weren't they?
You were slaughtered, weren't you?
Was I? Yeah. Oh, you didn't watch that awful video that my new husband
watched on Facebook. I watched the video of you being slaughtered. Yes, I did.
I will probably get him back for that.
Yeah, you'll probably never live that down, actually.
Well, the worst thing is that because I am an Essex girl, my mother bought me one of those really cheesy cake cutting knives that plays Auld Lang Syne.
While you're cutting the cake?
Yeah, everything and flashes. And, of course, I lowered the tone of the whole tasting menu, which was at the fabulous Saltwood on the Green.
Yeah.
Jeff Kipp. I did lower the tone, I'm afraid.
Yeah, he was saying earlier when I was talking to him, can I not send you again?
But great evening, and shame you weren't there, Snake Hips.
Yeah, well, basically, you organised it in full knowledge that I was actually doing a radio show in the evening.
As a Gemini, there's not a lot I can do about my birthday and the night that it falls on.
That's just an excuse.
But, you know, carrying on from my birthday week, Paul Andrews, we had a cracking lunch.
Your birthday month, yeah.
We had a cracking lunch at Western Hangar.
We did.
Where I'd already been on my birthday and quaffed on the lawn.
You had most of that champagne by rocking up and demanding champagne. Well, and Sarah fed you graciously.
Yeah, barefoot on the lawn I was.
I know.
While Serenity Becker looked around with Zoe dress design. And then great lunch, I thought.
Absolutely. Western Hangar is a fabulous venue.
Isn't it? And
Sarah's tweeted me some information, actually, which I'm going to read out later on the show. But just as a pre-runner to that, they have got a Father's Day special happening at Western Hangar Castle. And I suggest very muchly, if my boys are listening, that you go to that because it's a fabulous venue. And we had a great time at the Forging the Future lunch. And if anybody's interested in what happened at that lunch, there is a blog on the Kent Business Radio website that goes into a little bit of detail and some bullet points of the outcome of that event. So do have a look at that.
But we must say it was a cracking event. Sarah Paul put on it. I mean, I thought the food was fabulous, but the service, everything was great.
The whole thing was brilliant. I was really pleased with it.
Very impressed.
Absolutely.
And another thing I did, I don't know if you saw my little tweets on Saturday night. I was at Beyond Bollywood.
I missed that. I missed your tweets, thankfully. Yeah. And you never rang me, as you normally do, at some unearthly hour.
Well, I was beyond Bollywood by then.
I've got to tell you, listener, was it last summer when you went away?
Possibly.
4 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, my phone rings and it's Jules. Hello, I'm in a nightclub in Spain doing karaoke and I can't think what to sing next. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, Jules. Yeah, what shall I sing next? I have no idea and I really, quite frankly, don't care.
I think you did give me some suggestions.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, two words. Yeah, exactly. But you couldn't find that song.
Is it Go Now by the Animals?
Yeah, exactly.
The morning is broken.
Something had broken, I don't know, that morning.
Anyway, I'd like to say a massive thank you to this week's show sponsor. The Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway. A big, big thank you to them for sponsoring our show today. We've got a packed lineup of guests and we'll be introducing them as the show unfolds. But of course, as always, this show is for you, the businesses of the southeast of England. We'd love to hear from you and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874998. That's 01303 874998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. We have already had a couple of hundred tweets and we will be reading some of those out shortly, but for the moment, Jules, I think we'll kick off with an email.
Okay. You knew I was, you watch me, don't you?
I do,
see when I'm engrossed in something.
Yeah, exactly. She was knitting. She was knitting a vest or something.
You could have waffled on about like, are we going to introduce the guest?
No.
Well, I think we should.
I was watching you. I thought, you know, I'm going to spring one on her.
You know that I can be very feisty when I have a virus.
Oh, tell me about it.
She's not well.
Listener, she's not well. She came and breathed all over me this morning just to make sure I'm not well as well.
No, I had a temperature and I had terrible nightmares, listener, during the night. I had awful nightmares.
Did you?
I can't remember. But one of them was getting to this show.
Yeah.
I was late and I was held up.
Yeah, but that wasn't a nightmare.
Just normal.
That was normal, yeah.
The FSB, nice segue there, Paul Andrews. They have an auto-enrolment in Mid-Kent. It's Tuesday the 23rd of June, so that's a couple of weeks, from noon, they say, to 13:30, British summertime. So, also, now where is it? It's at the Kent Institution of Medicine and Surgery. Kim's.
Mm-hmm.
Newham. Do you say Newnham?
Newham.
Like Shibham.
No, nothing like Shibham. It's Newham Court.
Newham.
Not Cuts. Most Newham. People know it's Not Cuts.
It's a little Kentish word. Newham Court Way in Maidstone. It's M for Mother, E 145, F for Freddie, and T for Timothy.
It's actually right on Junction 7 of the M20.
Okay. So they say that auto-enrolment pensions will affect you if you employ staff. I was listening to this last night, funnily enough. Rolling out over the next few years, even the smallest businesses, Paul Andrews, will
if you
be
have
affected.
One member of staff over the age of 22, you have to auto-enrol.
So this is something we need to know about. So you can go along and Steve Kilfoyle will talk through everything that you need to know to make sure your business is compliant and how to make that happen. If you're an FSB member, it's there to help you and can give you all the relevant advice and even set your own pension scheme up for you. So Steve Kilfoyle of Squirrel Financial Planning will tell you all about it. Pensions are his hot topic. There's refreshments and a buffet. And there'll also be a presentation which will be followed by Q&A. Places are limited, they say, so book early. Kind regards to the lovely Alison Palmer. She's a development manager. There is a mobile, 07917-628-904. You can email alison.palmar, that's P-A-R-M-A-R, at F for Freddie, S for Sugar, B for Bertie, .org.uk. And that, again, is the Tuesday, the 23rd of June, 12 to 1:30 in Maidstone. So go onto the Kent Business Radio website and you'll find details of that.
Fantastic. Thank you. I just want to make you aware of something that's happening on Thursday evening, which is the launch of Shattered Dreams and Scorpions at Midnight, A Search for Sanctuary. It's part of Tales from Turkey Volume 1 by the author Miriam McGurk. And on Thursday, Miriam is launching her first book under her own name and taking the opportunity to help raise funds and awareness for a fantastic Kent charity, which is the Kent Deaf Children's Society.
Great society, though.
A fabulous, fabulous little charity with some mad bloke that is prancing around in a pink tutu a lot of the time.
He loves it.
Yeah. Anyway, there are raffle tickets available and they are on sale with a chance to win either £150 of travel vouchers from Anatolian Airways through local agents Baldwin's Travel, a Leeds Castle day pass for two adults and three children, Jules, tea for two with a glass of Prosecco.
That'll
at
do
the
me.
Townhouse Hotel.
As long as I'm on my own.
Free entrance tickets to Penshurst Place for two, and a flotation experience at Kalmora Spa in Goudhurst. And these fantastic prizes will all raise money, and all the money will go to the Kent Deaf Children's Society. The chair of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, the lovely Louise Henley, said KDCS is a registered charity that aims to support deaf children and their families across Kent and the surrounding areas. The organisation provides a social network through fun activities, events and lessons for the family in British Sign Language for all the members. Miriam is also giving a percentage of the book sales on the night to KDCS. So do have a look for Shattered Dreams and Scorpions at Midnight and buy a copy of that. And you will not only be supporting Miriam, but also the Kent Deaf Children's Society. And as the president of that august organisation, I thank you very much for your support.
Yes, and you're going to be hosting.
And I'm hosting the evening as well.
Well, yes. Probably won't be as good as my presentation last year.
It won't be anything like as good as your presentation last year,
can't
I'm afraid.
Be.
No, it can't. I can't surpass that.
No.
And they couldn't surpass that, so quite frankly, they didn't bother.
But what I'll do is I'll just heckle, and that will liven up the evening.
Absolutely. And fall over like you did last time.
Did I?
Oh. Or did you not?
No, I stayed very sober.
The YouTube video went viral a bit, really, as well, didn't it?
Oh, the our double act. Now, I suppose they'll just be interviewing you and I can gate crash this year.
Apparently, this year they're doing something different. They're live streaming the whole thing on Periscope.
Okay.
For some reason.
I need to know more about Periscope.
Do you?
So no doubt I will on Thursday.
Yeah.
Should we introduce the guests?
No.
I think we should.
No, it's not that time in the show at all.
We've got Neil Edwards from The Marketing Eye. We've got Tom Beaumont Beaumont. That's a lovely name, isn't it? Very handsome man that I met at Western Hanger. And we've also got the lovely Nicole Capon as well. All coming on later in the show, listener.
Shall we introduce the guest?
Yeah.
Oh, you've done it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Very nicely.
Oh, that was nicely, was it?
Yeah, I think the listener needs to know.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to read some tweets, because we've had bazillions of tweets, and we need to chunder through these. Some of them are hellos, so I'm just going to go through them quickly. The lovely Belinda Rate of About Talent has said hello, has the lovely Rachel Lowe of Catapult Sales. Neville Gaunt has tweeted... hope you have a great show today. I'm listening from sunny Mallorca.
Oh, is he?
It's all right for some, isn't it? He's only told us that so that we're annoyed.
Mrs. Gaunt is going to whack him over the head with her sun lounger if he's listening and not paying her attention and getting her cocktails.
Do you reckon?
I think so. Nah. I'd be furious if my new husband was listening to Business Bunker instead of chatting to me.
He's laying on a beach sipping cocktails. What more do you want?
Well, I think he should be giving her undivided attention.
Do you? Mm. We've also had a tweet from Tony Robinson, OBE.
Magnificent breasts.
Yeah. Tony is a champion of micro and small businesses. Do give him a follow on the Twitter, please. Tony Robinson, OBE. Follow him. And a new listener, Simon Legrand of Sunstone Systems.
Well, he sounds posh, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he?
Vanilla.
Yeah. Hi, Vanilla Web. That's me. We're in Canterbury delivering game-changing security systems and wireless technology and saving the public sector money. Could we have a shout-out, please? Well, you've just been shouted out. Mm. So do give Simon a follow, and it's Sunstone Systems, all one word, Sunstone Systems, on the Twitter. Carl's from Kent. Hi, Vanilla Web. Hi, Jules. Can we have a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker? Best place to buy and sell cars in Kent, carsfromkent.com.
He, now, didn't one of their cronies send me a lovely picture of a pale blue, powder blue Mercedes last week?
Absolutely. Mm. That would have been Mitch, I guessed.
One of them.
And did you buy it?
No, I'm still saving up.
Okay, Fruit Bowl Media. Hello, Vanilla Web. Can we have a shout out on the Business Bunker, please? We develop mobile-friendly, low-cost websites for SMEs. Fruitbowlmedia.com. And the lovely Claire Reeves. Hi, Vanilla Web. Looking forward to seeing you in the studio on next week's show. We've got Claire in the studio next week. Claire is a voiceover artist. She said, but I'd love a shout out today,
fun,
please.
Won't it? We can do voices.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have to do sort of, you know, different regions. Yeah, you can do that one.
Hello.
Yeah, you can do that.
Do you know what?
We can do AOR.
Do you know Brent?
Yeah, I do.
Brent from AK Media.
Yeah.
How long have I known Brent? How many years have I known Brent?
Well, over seven.
Years and years I've known Brent. He came to our event at Western Hanger. I called him Bruce. How did that happen? Hello,
he's
Bruce.
He's not even Australian.
I know, he's New Zealander.
That's terrible.
Hi, Bruce. You're right. How's Sheila?
He's got astonishing eyebrows, hasn't he? Have you noticed? I can't stop because it's very Carla Delevingne. It's very in vogue. You'll know this, won't you? I'm talking to Nicole now, the only lady. But Carla Delevingne, the brow is in. He has. I couldn't stop looking at his brows.
You can't stop looking at him anyway.
He is a darling.
She luffs after Brent all the time.
It's the way he says fish and chips and pin.
Because he's from Northern Ireland, of course.
Pin and pin.
Yeah.
I'm meeting him on Friday, you know.
We don't need to know your ins and outs, Cindy.
No, at Harry Covert's.
I'm going now as well.
I think he's
coming. You forgot to invite me.
I know. I tried to leave you off the list.
I know. Harry emailed me and said, you haven't replied to my invite. And I said, well, I haven't had one. And he said, but Jules said she was going to invite you.
Yeah, I forgot.
And she didn't. She deliberately left me off the list.
I forgot. You know what, though?
What?
You don't fancy coming to Whitstable and giving me a lift.
No, I don't.
Because then I can drink.
And then, and then throw up in the back of
this
my
is
car
your trouble.
Again. Yeah. Anyway, just to finish off on that tweet from the lovely Claire Reeves, who we will be talking to next week, do give Claire a follow, and her Twitter handle is Claire, C-L-A-R-E, On Air Live, all one word, Claire On Air Live, do give Claire a follow on the Twitter. Oh, one more tweet before we go on and play some tunage. YBC underscore S East. That's YBC underscore S East. Good morning, Paul. Can you give a shout out for your business community? If you want information, call Andrew on 07747114627. That's Andrew 07747114627. Your business community, South East. So some shout outs from the Twitter.
You called him Andrew on then.
Andrew what?
You called him Andrew On.
Andrew Om.
Yeah.
Did I?
On.
On.
Yeah.
Andrew On.
Yeah.
Andrew On.
But
the
not...
phone number.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It just sounded like
you're just being silly.
Somebody Chinese or something. Andrew Om.
Really?
Something like that.
Friend of mine posted on Facebook that she bought what she reckoned was really cheap Jimmy Choo's.
Right.
And when they arrived,
they dog choose.
No, when they arrived, she noticed that the mailing address was Beijing, China. So what she actually had was Jimmy Chow's.
I love that.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll tell you what, we're going to play some tunage.
Yeah.
And then when we'll come back, we'll start to talk to our first guest. What do you reckon?
What kind of tunage?
Well, what do you reckon?
I think this is a bit jumpy, don't you?
Do you? Do you?
Van Halen.
Is it?
Named it in one, isn't it?
You named that tune in one.
Van Halen, kind of ice cream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Join in the conversation with hashtag Daily Bread from Mike Waterton.
Right now, there are small business owners like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're Rift. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from Rift if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin on this Tuesday, June the 2nd, on a wild and wet and windy afternoon down here in Romney Marsh. We've had a tweet from lovely Brant McNaughton of Echo Media.
Oh, he's not listening.
He is. He says, I'm really looking forward to hearing from Neil. My old friend Neil, he says, from the Marketing Eye, and my new friend Tom Beaumont.
Neil doesn't look old to me.
Yeah. We are going to be hearing from them any moment now. But just before we do that, Jules, you want to do one more email, and then we actually will talk to Neil and Tom.
I'd love to. And this is about Margate. We don't get a lot from Margate, so this is rather exciting. Dreamland will join with six local businesses to boost Margate's economy. As the anticipation for Dreamland's opening grows, the park has announced partnership with six local businesses. Each will play an integral part in the park's function with contracts as a number of food and retail units are being signed. Very exciting, this, actually, for small foodies. You could be in with a chance to have a food and retail unit in Dreamland. The famous Margate-based amusement park looks to help the regeneration of the town, offering jobs to local people, with 83% of its employees from Thanet and 94% from Kent. Having signed these deals with the local outfits, the attraction is set to reopen on June the 19th, hoping to reinvent the town's image. Tickets went on sale back in March, and each of the first 500 fans to get their hands on one were given to receive a piece of roller coasting history in the form of a piece of the Grade 2 Star listed scenic railway, the jewel in Dreamland's beachfront crown as the UK's oldest roller coaster. I thought that was you, Paul Andrews. The businesses will be introduced, including a new cafe bar venture, the Quarter Deck, which is located on the site of the former Punch and Judy. The Quarter Deck will be run by local business owners Violet Prigg and Gareth Shaw, who own the proper coffee shop in the High Street. And the venue will serve pub food and local beers, and also plans to work closely with the park, hosting year-round events. Also introduced into Dreamland's family is Phases Dance and Fitness Studio, who have leased the first floor of the former Escape nightclub on Marine Terrace. I don't think there was any escape from that nightclub. The reimagined theme park will also sell lines from local designers, including Whitstable-based ceramicist Keith Brimer Jones. I hope I've said his name right. It might be Brimmer, but I'm saying it's Brimer with B-R-Y-M-E-R Jones. And Margate's own Zoe Murphy will contribute a range of exclusive souvenirs and homewares influenced by the history of Dreamland. Other businesses will include clothing supply for photo shoots to promote the park by Brewer and Dawson and Madame Popoff Vintage, also based in Margate. Do you know Paul Andrews? You know the lovely John Nurden?
I do know John Nurden.
Well,
yeah.
John and I used to, years ago, the old, I'm going back 15, 20 years.
You mean the John Nurden that's the front man of that band, Wrinklies?
The Wrinklies.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've changed their name, they've rebranded.
Oh, have they? What are they now?
Something else, but I prefer the Wrinklies.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I can't remember. But we used to do the PR for the old Dreamland with Jimmy Godden.
Did you?
And he used to own it.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Pre the fire. And I actually turned up because John was the account manager and I was the sidekick. And one day John was really busy and Jimmy Godden was quite old school. Mm. And he was furious because I went with the TV and the cameras because I was a lady. And where's John, you know? Mm. But we did a cracking job. But in those days...
And then it closed.
it burned down.
So that was a cracking job, that. Yeah.
Do you know what we did? We got John.
And it's taken them 25 years to reopen. Nice one, Jules.
Well, no, but there was a bit of a controversy about that. But
no, Kel Surprise, and you were involved.
I'm
wow.
not going into it.
No,
but
I wouldn't.
What happened was, I got, as another stunt, I got John Nurden, who's very squeamish about heights, up into one of these whirligig things. Mm. And I was taking pictures of him screaming as he was going, oh, no, you know, going around. Yeah, again and again. But in those days, he lives in Sheppey, I live in Whitstable. We would take the pictures, this is how old we are, and then I'd have to drive them over to his house, you know, get them developed, drive them over, which would take hours going over the Sheppey Bridge, and then he would somehow post them, I think, to send them by donkey or something to the local papers.
Absolutely.
That's how
and that
old
was still
we are.
That was still quicker than you managed to upload them from your phone these days, wasn't it? Yeah.
Are you being bitchy?
Yeah. Yeah.
It suits you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You do it so well.
Cool. Thank you for that, Jules. Reminiscences of the
good
1950s.
Those were the days.
Hey, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome our first guests onto today's Business Bunker show, and I shall introduce them shortly. We're going to be discussing the whole realm of alternative finance, which is one of those things that businesses increasingly are starting to become aware of. Since the 2007 financial crash, bank lending has become somewhat difficult, and as always, the market has responded, and there's a lot of new ways of raising finance, and we're going to discuss some of those and some of the issues involved. First of all, I want to introduce or get the guests to introduce themselves. I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Neil Edwards, Managing Director of the Marketing Eye. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you. Yeah, well, very pleased to be here.
Cool. If I could ask you just to tell us a little bit about you and the Marketing Eye.
Yeah, delighted to do so. So, yeah, the Marketing Eye, clues in the title. We're a marketing services business based out of Uckfield in Sussex. And I've always worked very extensively in the financial services industry, being an ex-banker by trade. That was a natural place for us to go. But a couple of years ago, we sort of found our way into the fascinating world of alternative finance.
Right.
We're now working with about half a dozen of the platforms that are out there, providing the marketing engine for them, helping to bring investors and borrowers to the platforms. And it's just been, you know, an inspiration to be involved with such an energetic and
Absolutely.
New industry. So that's what we're all about.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Neil. And let's introduce quickly Tom Bowman of Invest and Fund. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Paul.
How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Just give us a quick overview of Tom and your business.
Okay, so I'm Head of Business Development at Invest and Fund, and we're the region's specialist peer-to-business lending platform. And again, like with Neil, the clue's in the name. So people can fund businesses by investing in themselves on a debt base rather than equity base.
Fantastic. Right. This is where I'd like to start with this, guys. Could you guys just give us a quick overview, very briefly to start with, of the different kinds of platforms and alternative finance routes that there are, and then we'll kind of discuss some ins and outs of those things as we go through. Is that okay?
Yeah,
sure. So kind of tell us the difference between an equity platform or a crowdfunding platform or Kickstarter or peer-to-peer lending, and what the differences are between those things.
Sure. How do we want to do this? We want to do one each.
Just dive in.
Well, I think, you know, the starting point is, yes, to be sort of clear on the two fundamental differences that are out there, is you've got the equity crowdfunders, which is where you're typically giving away some shares, part ownership of your business, and you've got the more debt-related crowdfunders where you're getting a loan, and that loan could be in the form of a sort of straightforward business loan. It could be asset finance. It could be invoice finance.
Okay. Can I ask you, with the different platforms, do each of the platforms tend to focus on a different market, or is it possible to go to one platform and have equity, debt? How does it work?
Now that's sort of typically the case, where there are different platforms and they're specialising, and indeed, you know, we're seeing more and more niching going on, where platforms are specialising in a particular form of asset or a particular form of lending.
Right.
There are some out there now who are cropping up. Sort of Crowd to Fund is one that springs to mind, who are merging together all the different forms of crowdfunding. So you could go to a platform like that and raise some equity, so part equity, part via a loan, maybe some form of reward, some form of donation in there. So it really is a very sort of varied market out there now.
Yeah, I think last count there's something like 55 plus platforms out there.
Really?
And each one doing a different thing for different types of
people. This is Mark talking now, by the way, listener.
No, or Tom even.
Tom, sorry. Who's Mark?
I don't know. She did this earlier. She introduced a guest on her show.
I know.
What did you call him?
I called him Jeremy. I think it was because his name was Julian. But I think it's because I had this virus. I felt like a bear with a sore head. Jeremy Bear.
Well, it is my middle name, so maybe some telepathic thing.
See, I'm a psychic.
Yeah.
The lovely Tom Beaumont.
Yeah. So, sorry, Tom, you were saying about the 55 platforms? Are they UK specific platforms?
Yeah, that's in the UK. I mean, it's an ever growing sort of marketplace, and what's happening, it's just born out of a specific need. So, you know, you've got everything from there's literally a dance based crowdfunding platform, all the way through to different things, those investing into commercial property, residential property, mortgages, pensions. So there's literally something for everyone.
Right.
And that's the beauty of this new sort of modern alternative finance space, is there's choice out there for people.
Right.
And actually, typically the modern stuff involves some kind of exchange. So it's a pretty typically now called some marketplace lending. So you've got an exchange going on, which has been going on for years, actually.
Right.
So it's nothing new. It's just dragging it into the sort of the modern terminology, using sort of high tech and fintech sort of situations to make it a lot easier for people.
Okay. And typically, the people that are starting these platforms, from their point of view, are they mostly like technology companies that are just providing the platform? Are they a new form of kind of bank or finance company? How does it actually work from that point of view?
I think it varies from platform to platform. And certainly from our own point of view, we start off by David Turner and Mark Hawkins. They were just two people who said, look, the situation's got to change. What can we do about it? So they got together in terms of how we can help some businesses. They got involved with Stephen Kenny, who's our CTO, and said, well, let's just build an exchange. David had experience building exchanges in the city. Mark has been an FD of businesses for 30 odd years, so knew what a difficulty it was. So, well, let's put our heads together and do something about it. And this is what's happening throughout the space. People are going, something's needed, let's go ahead and build.
Absolutely.
It. It's not necessarily fintech.
But one of the things I love about this, a bit like Neil, my background was originally in banking in the city as well. And I was a bit of a buff. I'm a bit of a history buff. And one of the things that strikes me that's going on here is we're going back 300 years to how the city started, primarily in coffee houses clustered around, you know, the Lloyd's coffee shop and stuff like that, where people just hung out and lent each other money and did stuff and backed each other's businesses, which was the whole start of this thing. And we're kind of back in a more high-tech way, obviously, but doing a very similar thing, which is fantastic.
That's very much the case. And, you know, I think the recent history is that, you know, banking, you know, from those very early roots just got far, far too complicated.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
You know, had this whole sort of shadow banking industry created where it was all about, you know, speculation and esoteric products that nobody really understood.
Yeah.
Nobody understood. As it turns out.
Absolutely. The derivatives market went completely down the tubes because it turned out that not a single person knew what a credit default swap actually was.
Exactly. So, you know, it sort of exploded and sort of pulled itself all the way back to the beginning of, yep, I need some money. I know somebody who's got some money, or I'd like to meet somebody who's got some money. Let's bring them together and, you know, have a deal. So it's really, you know, connecting people back with their money again.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I want to explore with you guys is some of the basics, because a lot of our listeners out there are small and medium-sized businesses. They need money. You know, Tom and I were at a Forge the Future event last week, and one of the big things that came out of that was growth and how you finance growth, and especially for small manufacturing businesses, which are on the rise, you know, capital equipment costs a lot of money and it's high risk stuff with the long term for a return on investment. So a lot of people are looking at these forms of finance. But we want to explore some of the basics of this, because one of the things that I'm seeing is people rushing headlong into this without fully understanding exactly what it is they're getting into and therefore not targeting their offer properly. So if we can, guys, can we kind of step through some of the different things that we need to think about with the different platforms that we're going into? You know, like, so I don't want to lead by, you know, saying what should you do, because obviously you're not giving straightforward financial advice. Yeah. We're talking hypothetically here. You know, but people need to understand the difference between debt and equity and why they should go those different routes. Maybe we can explore some of those issues.
And how much help you give.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, one of the first things is exactly what are you as a business, at what stage are you, and what do you do? Because a lot of people might be starting right at the very beginning. They might be pre-revenue. So that means there'll be certain platforms which are better suited to them. If you're pre-revenue, you're typically going to be looking at equity or reward-based crowdfunding, where you might have a particular product and you'll say, if you can pledge money for us to get this product to market, you can have the first one, the first prototype, or things. You see a lot of that on Kickstarter, a lot of creative sort of business plans going through there in terms of you get that reward. So that's one of the things in terms of that. So if you're pre-startup, that's probably the best thing. Debt-based will be, if you're a bit more established, you can provide maybe some security, because the debt-based investors have a slightly different risk appetite to the equity investors.
Can I just stop you there? Sorry, Tom, but I want to explore one aspect of that, which is Kickstarter, which is a slightly different kind of platform, isn't it? It strikes me, and maybe you can put me right on this, but most of the things I've seen on Kickstarter I'm trying to think of the words to put behind this so that it doesn't sound too derogatory, but they're basically just people saying, give us money because I've got a good idea. And to a large extent, a lot of the things I've seen on Kickstarter, you think, you haven't really thought this through, have you? You know, the offer is quite minimalist, and they have very big aspirations in terms of the money they want to earn. And my understanding about Kickstarter is you set an amount of money that you want pledged, and you don't get anything unless you reach that target. And it strikes me that a lot of people go in far too ambitious for what they've got to offer.
I think that's true, and not just Kickstarter. I think that's one of the things, among the first things that we do when we actually meet with a business, is you know, often they come in with a very big figure in mind. You go, actually, what do you need right now?
Yeah.
What's the most important thing? Let's prioritize it going through, because that's what happens. And that, you know, there's some stat that I think it's like 80% of crowdfunding applications, they don't fill their pot, as it were. And we're the same. You know, if you don't get all your money, you don't get it. That's part of the deal, and this is why you've got to make that decision early on whether you're going to get it. You might be better go down an angel investor route or something like that. So so that's the situation with that. You know, it's understanding the appeal. Different, so, and that's the thing, some is with Kickstarter, for example, it's very much more getting people in to enjoy the company, doing it that way, whereas other platforms are very much more investor-led. So you've got a lot of people are, so professional investors, they're more sophisticated, for want of a better expression. So that's what people have got to look for and how they do it. So, but there's some great stories. And I was with a business the other day, and they raised £12,000 on Kickstarter.
Right.
They're a cake company called Eat & Mess, based in Sevenoaks, and they raised £12,000 via Kickstarter, offering people some of their cakes.
Excellent.
Worked out beautifully for them. They're now setting up a shop in Sevenoaks shortly.
Fantastic, yeah. And I don't know if it's still record, but the biggest crowdfund to date was 3.1 million or something from the guys just around the corner from here, Fraser Thompson and his guys at Chapel Down Wine at Centerton, raised 3.1 million in a week. But I mean, but they're a really well-established business with a really top-line product.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's the difference. So people get sort of a bit sort of caught up in the headlines.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chapel Down, very well-established, you know, good product.
Yeah.
So that's worked very well for them. A startup, probably not so much.
And I think that's a really good indication of how the industry has matured, you know, and matured very, very rapidly.
Absolutely.
You've got a situation like that where typically Chapel Down would have, you know, gone back to the stock market for that money, but they've actually chosen to go down a crowdfunding route. And you know, what does that tell us about the future of how you know, businesses will raise money from the public?
Absolutely. We live in fascinating times now, because the market has responded to this, which is what the market does, in my humble opinion. That, you know, that's the beauty of how markets work. What I'd like to explore with you guys now is those people that are thinking about trying to raise money using these kind of peer-to-peer lending or crowdfunding or equity or whatever, some of the issues that they really need to think about when they're going to do this. Because so debt financing, for instance, you know, you're basically asking someone for a loan. So typically, what kind of guarantees are required? How does it work? How does the process work? You know, in the old days, you went to the bank. The bank said, "We'll lend you fourpence, but we want, you know, your firstborn and
you pawned your watch.
You pawned your watch and everything else,
false
and then
teeth.
You know,
yeah."
Yeah, I think, so talking from our point of view and a lot of the other platforms in our space, you know, it's looking at, as you said, if you walk up to somebody in the street and say, give me £50,000, please, they're going to ask a few questions.
Absolutely.
And what we're going to try and do is ask those questions before they get to it. But you've got to basically get your figures right, make sure you've got a great relationship with your accountant, you've got your balance sheets and your latest accounts up to date. We need details of what debt you currently have and the repayments and what charges might be up against certain things. And are you able to offer security? And this is the big thing as well with that, because this is what the investors want to do. They're more likely to lend you money if they can see that you've also put some of your own money in and you're offering something to back it up. So that might be some personal guarantees, joint and several. It might be debentures on the company, assets. a lot of platforms, and we're one of them, we will not take primary residence as a security side of things.
If right, okay.
So, you know, and we did one sort of loan last year for about £300,000. It was a PG going up there with the director, and one of our investors who actually ended up giving £170,000 worth of that phoned us up and said, will this person be kicked out of their house if it all goes wrong and we have to call this in? And we made absolutely sure that that wasn't the case. And, right. and that's what we like about it. I think there's also this whole thing, the Alt-Fi space is actually the approach of it from everyone. It's yeah. trying to be supportive and to give them a hand. So that's it on the kind of the finance side. But then on the marketing side, it's where sort of Neil's firms have come in to help businesses prep everything, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the majority of our work is actually working with the platforms themselves
right.
and helping to educate the market on what they need to do
absolutely.
If they want
yeah.
to raise money in this sort of way. And just to build on what Tom was saying, I think the sort of the key point in it all is not to think about it as easy money.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And, you know, perhaps there is a perception out there that you can just go to a crowdfunder or a peer-to-peer lender and the money will just appear.
Hmm.
Well, you've just got to approach it in just the same way as you would if you're going to borrow money from the bank.
Hmm.
So think about a business plan. You know, does it all hang together? You know, what's your proposition? Is there really a market for what you're out there to do? Just the same way as you would go to a traditional lender.
Mm.
But what you will find from a large number of the alternative finance community is maybe a different attitude, a willingness to listen more.
Yeah.
More concerned with the future direction of where the business is going, you know, rather than what might have happened in the past.
Yeah.
You know, less stringent requirements around security. So there's certainly, you know, more money available. And again, as we see the industry maturing, it's moving rapidly away from the only people who use alternative finance are the people who can't borrow from the banks.
Yeah.
You know, we're now seeing people making a very, you know, active choice to go down the alternative finance route because of what it offers.
Yeah.
You know, more flexibility, speed of decision, less stringent security requirements typically.
Sure. Absolutely. But you're absolutely right, although you didn't expressly say this, so I'm putting words in your mouth. but it is one of those things, isn't it, that a lot of people in the old days, in terms of bank lending, even before the financial crisis, would moan about the banks not lending. But the reason the banks weren't lending wasn't because they didn't have any money to lend, it's just they weren't going to give it to you. Because they didn't like what you'd offered them. And we have to keep that in mind. You know, when we talk to small businesses, an awful lot of people moan about not being able to raise finance, but quite often it's not a lack of the finance, it's just your plans are rubbish. I'm sorry, I'm not investing my money in your business. End of.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the key points on that is typically most people might go to friends and family and say, would you do it? So if someone's come to us and they haven't gone down that route, because it's, you've got that opportunity of going, look, was it good enough for them to lend you money? And you can get a little bit sort of wrong.
We used to call that the three F's, friends, families and fools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But alternative with that, people can use platforms for them to get involved, but at an arm's length. So it stops that embarrassing conversation at Christmas when you suddenly realise you haven't paid back granddad for all the money he's lent to the business, and this can be done and they can do it anonymously and help and get it through that way. So it's just, they're all just tools to be used in different ways.
Absolutely. And but what I like and how Neil was saying is the support that organisations like Neil's can offer. Because my big thing is that's vanishingly important. You know, it is really important that you do this properly, because, you know, a lot of people do come away with the impression that it's easy money at the moment, and you've got to jump through the hoops. And one of the nice things, and funnily enough, I think this comes out of another discussion we had at Forge the Future, which is about collaboration.
Mm.
A lot of people have been a lot softer about how they do things now and saying, you know, I'm not going to kill you if you don't repay me. Because one of the big problems with bank lending and getting into financial trouble is that they would foreclose on you, thereby not giving you the chance to actually do something to get yourself out of it.
Mm.
And I was involved in a business many years ago that had to go into a voluntary agreement, and the owner of the business was so determined to pay every single penny that eventually he did.
Mm.
He paid every single penny that he owed back. It was incredibly hard work, but that ability to go into a voluntary arrangement made a huge difference to him, because he felt, you know, personally, that he had to pay everything back and do what he did. The business actually grew from there again and did quite well. But so it just shows you that you can recover as well.
Yeah. And I think that's in the nature of peer-to-peer. Yeah. Because there's that real connection between the lender and the borrower, the borrower actually feels that sense of responsibility more.
Absolutely.
If it's not going right. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to sort of let down a sort of a major corporate institution.
Exactly, a faceless institution.
It's quite another thing when you know that there is, you know, an individual at the end of that, and particularly if you're involved in, you know, as Tom is, you know, a very sort of a local situation, you know, local peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you could walk past that person in the street.
Yeah, and it might be a neighbour. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's right. So, you know, I think the borrower does feel that sense of responsibility and wants to pay back, you know, even more than...
Absolutely. Can we explore that a little bit as well? The type of people that are actually putting money in to the other side of this, the people that aren't loaning money in peer-to-peer or taking equity in firms. Is there a pattern to this, and what's happening there?
I think at the beginning, I mean, certainly as we look at it, there's clearly a lot of high net worth individuals. You know, I mentioned earlier the term sophisticated investors, because this is very new, and so the people at the forefront of actually investing in these platforms had an eye on it for some time. What the kind of the buzzword for a lot of the consumer investors or retail investors, so that'll be, you know, any person can register onto these sites and become an investor.
Yep.
We have to do an awful lot of sort of care and attention on terms of the platforms and specifying the levels of risk involved. But at the moment, predominantly, it is sophisticated investors. There is institutional investments coming in now. You've got people like the business bank lending money through different platforms and things like that. But the retailers are those people. It's just becoming aware. We're educating people about the potential benefits in getting involved in peer-to-peer, not only just of helping businesses, but it's also a great way of earning potentially some returns on your money. You know, there are risks involved in that, but you know, look at what you're getting in your bank account, and then you can come and look at some of the platforms and see what people are getting as a return. So people are just starting to get wind of that as the kind of the average sort of investor. You know, the minimum amount with us is £25.
Right.
So we've got some students, we've got some people who are just putting in some money every month and just doing it's just small bits.
Right.
And others are prepared to put quite a few zeros behind some of their investments.
Absolutely. As you've intimated there, of course, returns on savings in conventional banking is, how can we put this delicately, utter rubbish.
But it's safe.
It's safe, but you're not going to earn anything. And like anything, there's a degree of risk, and presumably the more risk, the more the potential return and the greater the potential losses. I have a SIP, a self-invested pension plan. I struggle with this a bit because my SIP administrator won't let me do things like that with the SIP.
Change your provider.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm on my third now.
Because I can give you a couple who will.
Can
do
you? Yeah. Because again, you know, that's something that approaching pensionable age, which I am actually, I'm well past it. But there you go.
Thank you.
I knew you'd wake up with that. But it, you know, for me, there is an element of not wanting to risk too much, obviously, because, you know, I'm at a point where I'm going to draw down eventually. But also, you know, I want to get some returns in there as well. So do you see pension funds or self-invested pension funds at least participating?
Yeah, we do. And they've done that pretty much across most of the platforms, actually.
Right.
We've got a relationship with one. It was done as a proof of concept. That's gone through very sort of nicely. And the whole thing about any form of investments, and you know, I am no financial wizard or anything like that, but it's all about, particularly in the alt-fi space, it's all about sort of diversification. We're not saying put everything into one platform or one type of business. It's about spreading everything. You know, you've got to have a whole sort of diverse portfolio is kind of the buzzword for it all. But yeah, the SIP providers are getting involved now because they're understanding this is a very sort of quick and easy way of doing it. All the platforms have incredible due diligence because we've got to.
I was going to ask you about that as well.
Under interim permissions on the FCA. Everyone's going to be are putting in their full permission applications as we speak. So you've got that sort of due diligence going on. So the pension providers are looking at our due diligence. They're then looking at the particular loans because typically what they do, they'll look at each specific loan as a potential sort of asset class to for people to invest. So there's lots of due diligence going on. And that's also one of the appeals of crowdfunding and peer-to-peer is you've got the diligence of the crowd.
Yeah.
So you've got lots of people getting getting involved with it, you can be sitting there going, well, actually, this might be worth just putting some money on it. And,
absolutely.
And all the platforms, the beauty about the whole sector, it's all about transparency. Mm. So everything's up there, very clear instructions, and making people well aware that this is potential risk, but this is what goes on. There's no hidden things going on. It's just all very open. It's an open marketplace, which is great.
Absolutely.
I think it's one of the challenges for the industry as to where people can go to get that advice if they want to invest. The IFA community, the wealth management community are struggling with this. You know, they don't know where they sit in terms of, their own regulation with the FCA. But there is, huge demand for advice. People can see that there are good returns available. Clearly, they have to understand the risk that goes alongside earning that return. Mm. But at the moment, it's pretty much left to the individual to make their own decision, which is why you get that sort of trend towards a more sophisticated investor being involved, or people at the other end of the scale being involved with very small sums. The other thing that's coming down the track, we're promised, is that you're going to be able to put these sort of peer-to-peer investments into ISAs.
Yeah.
Now, that was promised by George Osborne in the budget before last. Mm-hmm. It's taken longer to implement than was expected, but 2016, that should be the case. Well, that's going to create a huge, upswell in interest in these forms of investments. And, we really think that the IFA community, the wealth management community, has got a role to play here in, getting on board, understanding the market and advising their clients appropriately.
Absolutely. Interestingly, I made a small investment in a business via Cedar.
Cedars.
A little while ago. And it probably cost me more in time sitting there filling out all the forms saying, no, I'm a high net worth investor and I realise I'm going to lose my money and I realise I'm going to do this and I realise and I'm going to take the whole thing on the chin. But, that's what it's about, isn't it? As long as the investors accept the risk and know what the risks are, then, I think we don't want to over-regulate that market either.
No, but that's the irony, is that you could also just log on to any sort of gambling website and bet your whole house on a horse in the Grand National.
Exactly.
And it'll take you 2 seconds. But I think that's also the part of the responsibility of as a new sort of industry, really, to make sure that people are doing so. There are safeguards. It might say, you've gone above a certain amount. Are you sure you want to do that? And I think that's the whole thing. It's about making sure people are so making the right and informed decisions. And
it's about due diligence, isn't it? Yeah. A few years ago, we had Richard Farley, if you remember, from Dragon's Den, the Australian Dragon, on the show. And Richard I don't know if he still is. At the time, he was the biggest investor in the UK as an angel investor. He'd invested in more businesses than the rest of us put together, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And he was saying about Dragon's Den that a lot of the deals just never happened because once they came off air and went into due diligence, it was just nonsense.
Yeah.
And it was very disappointing that so many of the deals just didn't happen.
Mm. Yeah. No, Kelly Hopman said exactly the same at an event just before Christmas when she was talking about it, because it is. It's, people have to look under the bonnet, as it were, just know your business, know your figures, and that'll make a big difference.
Absolutely. So thank you for that, guys. A really interesting overview of the alternative finance marketplace. As I said, we've got a list of some of the resources that the Federation of Small Business have put our way, which is on a blog on the Kent Business Radio website. But if you'd like to follow up with Neil and or Tom, in a moment, they'll both give you their web addresses and Twitter handles or whatever they want to give you so that you can follow up with them. Just finishing off on the whole thing, though, where do you see the next phase of this going? Any thoughts on where we're going with this?
I just think it continue to grow. I mean, the figures are quite so phenomenal. It's only a small drop in the ocean. But if you look, we talk about resources. There's a great website called altfi.com, and that'll give you an overview of all the different platforms. And they have a comparison site called the Funding Center. So it has all different platforms, equity, market trading, this, that sort of stuff. But just yet, month to date, so i.e. just yesterday, on the peer-to-business lending platforms alone, it was at 3.8 million.
Right.
Just done in a day. The cumulative, we're talking billions.
Right.
There's a report last year that was going to be 1.74 billion by the end of the year. It actually went over 4.
Really?
And a stat from someone yesterday said they reckon the UK peer-to-peer industry will hit 1 trillion by 2025. So it's growing. The regulation will come in.
Just on that, sorry to interrupt, but do you think that's indicative of the marketplace in general, that we're growing, that there's growth happening here?
Yes, I think there's definitely growth in the economy. It's interesting talking about reports that were out. I haven't got the precise numbers with me, but one of the things that's been on a consistent downer has been lending to small businesses by the banks through the funding for lending scheme. The last quarter's figures, you know, showed a turnaround on that. So I think that's encouraging in itself that businesses, in many respects, I think they've become frightened of borrowing. You know, lost the habit, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now, you know, they are coming back into the market wanting to borrow money. And, you know, borrowing for the right purposes is good. You know, you can leverage that money up. You can increase your profits on the basis of borrowing money. Obviously, borrowing money to fund losses is not so good. But with that demand coming back, what their businesses are now finding is they've got choice. You know, at one time it would have been just go to the bank. Now there's a, you know, a whole landscape of different lenders for them to choose from, and they can be very specialist. If you want cash flow, if you want asset finance, if you want longer term finance, if you want property lending, you know, all these people are out there, so you can choose the right platform for your needs. And that's what the end game was. You know, when the banking crisis started, or more to the point, got into full speed, it was recognised that we needed a much broader based finance industry, and we're very much along the path for that.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. First of all, just give us a shout out for your websites individually, Neil and then Tom.
Thank you. Well, we're www.themarketingeye.com, and be delighted to hear from anybody on Twitter, and we're at The Marketing Eye.
Neil, thank you very much.
And they're tweeting for you as well, Neil.
Thank you.
Good to
throughout your interview.
Okay, so we are www.investandfund.com. We're on Twitter at Invest and Fund, and I'm also at Tom_Beaumont. We've got a massive, just a shout out, we've got a massive support local campaign, and this is a big blog series and philosophy for us. So we're inviting any SME out there, if you want to tell people what you do, where you do it, and why it's important to use local businesses and support local businesses, just drop us a line and we'll post that for you. And also, if you help SMEs go forward, because it's just about giving a big shout out to the small business community who are basically driving the economy.
Fantastic. Thank
Excellent.
You for that. Tom Beaumont of Investing Fund and Neil Edwards of The Marketing Eye, thank you so much for joining us on The Business Bunker Show. Fascinating insight into alternative finance. Absolutely brilliant. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. What we're going to do now is we're going to have a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll talk to our next guest, the lovely Nicole.
Can't wait. Trapon. She's been sitting there diligently.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's have a listen to this, and then we'll be straight back.
Cheers.